I'll be reading from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Paul in our scripture reading is speaking about his own conversion. This new lifestyle that he speaks about has its beginning in what Jesus called a new birth, of being born again, more appropriately being born from above. Paul references this new beginning in two scriptures, Romans 6 and verse 3 and 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Romans 6 and verse 3 reads, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, that we too may live a new life." 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, or 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." It would be difficult to miss that we are to become a different people, and that this fresh start has its beginnings in our conversion, at the point that our faith leads to baptism. But where has God put and placed water baptism in our salvation? You know, God had used water in some very familiar biblical accounts. For instance, Noah and his family were saved by water. I know that oftentimes we think, and our children sometimes believe, that his salvation was being from water. From water. Not by water. And we usually think that the ark was the agent of their salvation. But I'd like us to listen to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to read verses 18 through 22. And Peter writes here, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, being made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water." Now, the King James and the New American Standard says saved by water. The Bible says that the water of the flood was that which saved Noah. It saved Noah by giving them a fresh start. God basically created a new life in this world. We can move ahead into history a little bit further. Israel being delivered from Egyptian bondage by water. 1 Corinthians 10 in the very first two verses. Paul writes here, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." I hope we can kind of see the connection here, that God has placed water between bondage and salvation. We can go a little bit further into history, a couple of hundred years further down the road. 2 Kings chapter 5, the account of Naaman. Elisha, in verse 10, he told Naaman to dip himself in the river Jordan 7 times. Now, the reason I selected this verse is that in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the Septuagint, the word dip comes from the word baptize. See, God had placed water between this man's leprosy and his cleansing. In John chapter 9, Jesus uses water in the healing of a blind man. In verse 5 of John chapter 9, it says that Jesus had spit on the ground, that he made some mud with his spittle, that he put him in the eyes of the blind man. And then in verse 7, he says, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. And so he went and washed and came back seeing. Now, Jesus didn't have to do it this way. All Jesus would have had to say was, "Open your eyes." Or he could have had another way for this man to gain his sight. He did it with Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. He touched the eyes in Matthew 9 of the two blind men. But this time, Jesus placed water between this man's blindness and his seeing. God has placed water baptism in our salvation. Most certainly, God could have saved us in some other way. God had the power to be able to do that. God could have taken over our minds and made us whole and right. Any way that he wanted to, God could have done it. But he chose water baptism to be an essential part of our salvation. He placed baptism between being in Christ and being out of Christ. And we have about 34 New Testament references of being in Christ. And we are told that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, it says that in Christ we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. In Romans 8 and verse 1, it tells us that there is no other condemnation to those who are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, that salvation is in Christ Jesus. And we have others, Romans 6 verse 3, Galatians 3 and verses 26 through 27. This preposition into presupposes that someone is outside. You cannot come in to this building unless you are outside of it, correct? No one can be baptized into Christ or into the benefits of his death unless he is outside of Christ before his baptism. We cannot be clothed with Christ unless we were naked. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 17, John writes, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." That's why they call it the good news, the gospel. baptism stands between guilt and forgiveness. A passage that teaches that baptism stands between guilt and forgiveness is Acts 22 and verse 16. It is Acts 22 where Paul is giving his account of his salvation, of his meeting Jesus on the road. And here Paul is recanting what Ananias had said to him after being 3 days in Damascus. And Ananias, in verse 16, he tells Saul at this point here, "Arise and be baptized and wash your sins away." Friends, we know that Jesus was seen by Paul on that road to Damascus. We know that there was definitely a belief that there was repentance, there was prayer. He spent 3 days in Damascus doing these things. If his sins were forgiven back there on that road, the time where he believed, at the time that he confessed that Jesus, there would have been no need for this command to be baptized. But if we take Acts 16, or 22, verse 16 emphatically, tells us that God has placed baptism between guilt and forgiveness. And baptism also stands with being dead in sin and being alive in Christ. Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 12, continuing through verse 13. "In baptism we were buried with him, and we were raised with him through our faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And when we were dead in our sins, God made us alive in Christ. He forgave us all our sins." When were we made alive in Christ? When did He forgive us all our sins? Through the act of baptism. Jesus places baptism between being saved and being lost. In Mark 16 and verse 16, He says, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." It is placed before salvation. Baptism stands between belief, unbelief, and acceptance. In Acts 2 and verse 41, it says that those who accepted His message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. In Acts 8 and verse 12, it says that when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, that they were baptized, both men and women. Why do we have to make things so complicated in this religious world? Because it truly is very simple. If we really accept the message, if we genuinely accept Christ as our Savior, as our Lord and King, then we will be baptized because God has placed baptism between unbelief and full acceptance of Christ Jesus. Baptism stands between our being in the body and being out of the body. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, Paul writes here, "For by one Spirit, we were baptized into one body." If we were baptized into one body, then it stands to reason that we were not in the body before our baptism. We are in that body after baptism. What's the body? Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23, and Colossians 1, verses 18 and verse 24 plainly tells us that the body is the church, of which Jesus Christ is both the head and Savior. And no one is in the body until he is baptized into the body. Jesus explains the dynamics of New Testament baptism to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 5. Here it is where Jesus tells him, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, are we looking at two births here, as some would suggest? That the water here is referring to our physical birth and that the word Spirit refers to as our spiritual birth? The answer is no. There is only one preposition in this sentence. Born of water and the Spirit. In this new birth, whoever is born of water is also born of the Spirit at the same time. It is here that Jesus speaks of only one birth and not two. Now, if you've got the King James Version, you're going to see of the Spirit in the King James Version. But if you'll also notice in your King James Version, the word of, that preposition is italicized. And when that word is italicized, you will not find it in the original language in which the Bible was written. Man added it. Man added it. For Jesus would go on to say, basically, that you cannot mix the two together. You cannot mix that which is physical and that which is spiritual. The physical is physical, the spiritual is spiritual. It is oil and water. You cannot mix the two together. Our baptism stands between an individual being in and out of the body of Christ. Finally, my friends, baptism was placed between remorse and rejoicing. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, in Acts chapter 8 and verse 39, and in chapter 16 and verse 34, each one of these verses speaks of a convert's rejoicing after their baptism. And if you look at chapter 16, verse 34, if you'll read the very first verse before that, verse 33, you will see that he was baptized in 33, that he rejoiced in verse 34. Our rejoicing comes from the very fact, as these folks here demonstrated, that they were given a new life, that their life was in the body, that they now belong to God, that they are all heirs of salvation. Would I like to close with 1 Peter chapter 3. The same verses again, 18 through 21 that we read earlier. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. The baptism that corresponds to this is the same baptism that now saves us, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This water in this baptistry comes from a lake in northern Greenville County. It is the same water that comes out of the taps at our homes. The salvation is not in that water, but it is our obedience to God. That is where our salvation comes from. Baptism is doing what God has asked us to do without asking why. When you get right to it, why would anyone say no to God? I believe we have a hard time explaining to folks of why we believe that baptism is necessary. But I hope this morning we can see some of the dynamics behind it to help shore up our beliefs of why this is so important, how we can be brought into the body, how we can have life everlasting. Today is an important day for some. Today is decision day. And if you want to get right down to it, every day is decision day. We have to make a decision. If you are not in the body of Christ, where do you want to be the next moment if Christ comes? You see, we're given just the moment that we're existing right this second. Christ could come back before we even start singing. Where are we going to be if we're not in that body? If we are not in Christ, when our Lord returns, Jesus isn't going to be preaching in the prisons of hell anymore. We have our opportunity now. We have our opportunity now. If there's anyone here whose desire is to obey the gospel this morning, to be baptized into Christ, to become a fellow heir with Jesus Christ Himself, and have an eternity in heaven, we want to give you that opportunity. And maybe you just need to have prayers for the congregation for whatever situation you find yourself in. We want to give you that opportunity. If you have a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.